In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we are all welcomed, wherever we are. I like to imagine where you all are, where you're sitting, where you're standing, whether you're potting up your broccoli, or whether you're sitting with a cup of tea and a lit candle. Wherever you are welcomed by God. And I have news, actually. I have news for you. We are hoping that Bredsall Church will be open on Wednesday for prayer and quiet reflection from 9 till 3, and again on Saturday from 3:30 to 6. And we're also hoping that Smalley Church will be open too from 10 till 4 on Wednesday. But I will send a confirming email round to you all about that. Let us start our worship together by singing, I Come With Joy, A Child of God.
Worth much more than many sparrows.
Jesus is preparing his disciples for the charge that he has given them, to go and proclaim his good news, things that he has just told them in the quietness of a church, in the quietness on their own, reading their Bible. We are to proclaim to others, and that's a scary thought. Others may well call us names, as they did indeed our Master. I think when he talks about fearing God, he is saying, don't fear other people. They are really not a problem to you. They cannot affect or hurt your soul. If you must fear, then fear God, for surely he has the greater power over us ultimately. But indeed, then he goes on to say, this is a God not to be feared, for he minds so much about us, numbers the hairs of our head. Let us take a moment to bring before God our lack of trust in him, and how that lack of trust may affect the way that we follow Jesus, may affect the way that we live our lives, and indeed may even affect the way that we prevent God from uncovering those things which need to be uncovered within us, those secrets which need to be made known. God our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us for behaving just as we wish without thinking of you. Father, forgive us for failing you by what we do and think and say. Father, forgive us for letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us. Father, forgive us for our lack of trust in your great power and for living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son. Father, forgive us. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray together this Sunday's collect. Lord, you have taught us that all our doings without love are nothing worth. Send your Holy Spirit and pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of love, the true bond of peace and all virtues, without which whoever lives is counted dead before you. Grant this for your only Son, Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We're going to sing now an old and trusted and beautiful hymn.
Jesus, good above all other, gentle child of gentle mother, in a stable born abroad, give us grace to come.
This is a reading from Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 to 39. So, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. This is the word of the Lord.
Nobody ever said that being a Christian would be easy, and Jesus certainly didn't. When Jesus was undertaking his ministry, he was given all sorts of insults and called all sorts of names, including even Beelzebul, the name of the devil or Satan, because a lot of the people in power at that time really thought that was true. They didn't understand him at all. And of course, when they called him those names, they were maligning his disciples as well. For no student is greater than the teacher, and if the teacher is Beelzebul, so must all his students be. But Jesus was saying to them, yes, they're calling you these terrible names, and you're afraid that they will hurt you. But don't be afraid. Remember, we are body and soul, and they can hurt your body. They can harm it, they can kill you, but they can't hurt your soul. Your soul is safe in God's hands. If you truly try to follow Jesus and you truly try to show his word as best you can, you have nothing to fear. There may be persecution all around you, but it cannot damage or hurt your soul if you remain true to Christ. And we all know about persecution today. In this country, the only persecution we tend to get is ridicule. And I hope and pray we can all withstand that. But in many countries round the world, we know that being a Christian is dangerous. We know that people are harmed. Schools are burned down. People are put into prison for being called Christian, and even threatened execution. As you remain true to Christ, as long as you remember that Jesus is your master, you have nothing to fear for your soul. And we must remember that God knows every little thing about us. He cares about us in totality. Each one of us, as I have often said, is his favourite child. He knows every little bird out there, every little bird that has ever existed and will ever exist, and he loves them all and cares for them. He knows every single hair on our head and cares for that. And if this is so, how much more does he care for us? How much more does he hold our souls lovingly in his hands? This does not mean that he holds our bodies so lovingly in his hands. He expects us to use them for his love and his sake, and to do his work. And then Jesus goes on to say something that I personally find very difficult indeed. He says that if you deny him before God, he cannot acknowledge you. He's not in a position to acknowledge you, because you're saying that you don't know him. And having many atheist friends, I find that so difficult, because I would like to feel that they too enter paradise with me. And I pray so much that they will find Jesus and come to acknowledge him as their Lord and Saviour. And he goes on to say that all of this is going to mean some terrible disagreements between us and our loved ones. This is something for us to really think about. Now, he isn't saying that we must stop loving our loved ones. That isn't what he's saying at all, although I know that there are some people who believe that it is so. No, he is saying that we must love him more. He is the person we must care for most. He is the most important. And if we find that we have to choose between Jesus and a parent or a child, then we have to choose Jesus. And that really is a most terrible thing to have to think of, isn't it? Now, when Jesus was speaking, socially, everybody obeyed the head of the family. It wasn't a case of, I love the head of the family, so I would like to do what he says, and it was a he. It was, he is the head of the family, I must do what he says. And it's something that's been in our own culture all through the years until probably the Victorian era. But Jesus says, this cannot be so. He was upsetting the whole of his culture. You could say it was a culturally catastrophic thing to suggest. He was saying that no matter what your orders were, no matter what obedience you owed, if you followed him in disobedience to your family, then that was how it must be. Now, I know things aren't like that today, but even if our family disagrees with us 100%, we still have to follow Jesus. And I think and know how difficult it must be for those parents who have atheist children, or those children who've become Christians and have atheist parents, the terrible discussions and arguments that must happen. And yet neither parent nor child who has found Christ must deny him. You stick to your guns. If you like, say, I acknowledge that you do not believe in him. I do. And I have found how wonderful he is, and I wish you could find that too. So we must never stop loving, but always remember that the one we must love most, and first and foremost, is Jesus. Amen. And now, having said that we must love Jesus most and love God above all things, let us say our creed, state what we believe.
The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. When we are led in prayer, let us sit in faith for a moment.
during this very difficult period in all our lives. People have found different ways of coping with the situation. For me, it has been the joy and peace of walking in nature every day. So as we pause to pray this morning, will you walk a little way with me? As the hills cradle the valley floor, so may you be sheltered in God's love for you. As the river moves ever onwards, so may you go forward in your journey of faith. As the moorland flowers flourish brightly, so may you show God's love to those around you. The warmth of the sun's embrace, the gentle breeze swept in by incoming tide, the rhythm of seasons, of new birth, death, and recreation, all speak so clearly of your love, your power, and your beauty, Lord. All are expressions of your creativity, and more importantly, of yourself. As an artist might share his personality within each brushstroke, so within the myriad colours of a butterfly's wing, you share the exuberance of your love. We know you will find room for all of us in this cosmic patchwork you are quilting. Give us grace to play our allotted roles, knowing that each member has value. Lord, find a place for us in your giant jigsaw and weave your wondrous tapestry until the warp and weft of our twisted, tangled threads form an image which is beautiful in your sight. We pray for peace in the world, a world struggling with virus, terror, and hatred. We pray for peace in our communities and our families. Create in us a love for peace, not peace that is absent from struggle, nor peace that is blind to injustice, but the peace that makes whole what is now broken. We remember this morning those who are sick, sad, or lonely, and those who are brave and patient when things are going wrong. We pray that they may be aware of your comforting presence and know that in your hands they are safe and loved. We remember before God those who have died during the coronavirus and those who continue to suffer. We give thanks for the dedication, skill, and courage of those who have served selflessly throughout. Be with us all, Father, as we continue to cope with the impact of our current situation. Show us, good Lord, the peace we should seek, the peace we must give, the peace we can keep, the peace we must forego, and the peace you have given in Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thank you.
recently, when I've been saying our Lord's Prayer, the words, "Hallowed be thy name," have begun to resonate slightly differently. There is a yearning for me to hallow God well, and there is within that my own praise. But there is also a plea that the world will come to discover that the power at the heart of the universe is something so beautiful and to be hallowed. A kind of a plea for the revelation of the goodness of God in the lives of all people. Shall we say together the words our Saviour taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. In a moment, we are going to have our final hymn, a hymn that helps us trust God because it casts our mind back over all that he has done, Lord, for the years. But let us first receive God's blessing together. With Pat's prayers still very much in my ears. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face, the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and those for whom you pray, now and always. Amen.